Morning. Romans chapter 15. Do want you to encourage you to keep Daryl in your prayers and their family. Tammy and Derek and Darren are their kids, and they are handling it, but it's a struggle. And then they've got some kids too, so they've got grandkids. But just keep them in your prayers, because this is it's a very difficult time for them, even though all of them were very assured of where Carolyn is at this point. The fact that she is safely in the hands of her Savior. So that is not the issue. But the issue is how much they'll miss her here. And then, of course, with Daryl, he and Carolyn were together all the time. So keep them in prayer. And Daryl should have gotten out of ICU last night. Yesterday morning he was talking. We had a good conversation. Thursday he was pretty unresponsive. They had him pretty heavily sedated. He didn't even remember me being there Thursday. So it was a big change. But he remembers everything, so he's dealing with it, you know, as he can. So keep them in prayer. Carolyn will be someone we will miss tremendously. Her heart, her spirit. But as I was talking to the kids, the first thing I said was faithful. There's a gal that is faithful, extremely faithful, in who she was and who God had made her, what she was doing with what God had given her. So we rejoice, because we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We rejoice in the fact that she has been promoted. We miss her, but she has been promoted. So praise the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. And she was definitely his daughter. We're in Romans chapter 15, but keep them in prayer. Keep the kids, especially, as they're working through this. Romans 15. Want to read the first six verses. Romans chapter 15. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of him who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth here. The fact that, Lord God, we are here not to correct, not to refine, not to push. Lord God, we are here to encourage each other. We are here to glorify your name. And Father, to glorify your name, Lord God, we are to have the same mind, the same heart, the same attitude. And to do that, Lord God, we are to learn through the example of Jesus Christ how to encourage and how to live with each other. We love you, we honor and worship your name. Through Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Romans, the writer of Romans, being Paul the Apostle, has written the book about justification by faith. And he's done so in such a way, he's building a precept upon precept, basically. He has shown us how we are condemned without him and how with him we are saved. First 11 chapters were about our identity, who we are in Jesus Christ. And he laid it out exactly. Laid it out and showed us how we can have a relationship with him. And then he goes on in chapter 12 and says, okay, Now, since you have the mercies of God, I beg you, I beseech you to present your body as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That was a dichotomy in the Old Testament, because the sacrifice was a dead sacrifice. But we here are to be living sacrifices. We are to be yielded to God in his work. He shows us how he has given us gifts, and then he goes and talks about our attitude towards God, towards others, towards our enemies, towards the government, towards taxes, all of the very practical things he is teaching. But then he goes on and he says, love fulfills the law. As we deal with each other, we understand love fulfills the law. As we love each other, that's the fulfillment of God's law. That's fulfillment of what God's heart is for us. So he gives us some illustrations, very practical things. He's talking about the stronger and the weaker Christians, not the better and the worse, not the richer and the poorer, not the taller and the shorter, all right? He's talking about those who are stronger in their faith and those who are weaker in their faith, in their understanding of who God is and what he desires for us in living out our faith. We have freedom in Christ. And yet, because of our background or what we have learned in the past or what has been taught to us, because of our spiritual preferences, we may worship in a certain way or we may allow a certain thing that is not specifically addressed in Scripture. Remember, we are not talking about doctrine. All right? He's already established that in the first 11 chapters. He has established that Jesus is the Christ. We're not talking about whether Jesus is God, whether he is Christ, whether whether we should worship God. We're not talking about the truth, the doctrinal truth. We're talking about things like eating meat, sacrifice to idols. Questionable areas. We're talking about holding certain days, how you should dress to church, coming to church, how the type of music, all right? We're talking about things that aren't specifically addressed in Scripture and do not go against the doctrine of truth that God has presented to us. So those who are stronger, he says, are those who understand the freedoms that we have and can encourage those who don't. So he goes on, and he's kind of concluding this whole section. We've already gone over quite a bit of it. Not to be to hold those in contempt, the weaker Christian in contempt, or the stronger Christian, not or the weaker, not to judge the stronger. That we shouldn't have pride in our freedoms or push our freedoms onto others. It's a sin. The pushing sin on to violate the conscience of the weaker for himself to do it, and he condemns himself. And the fact that it's God's work, not ours, to complete in someone else. It's God's work to complete. But then he goes on and kind of sums it up here. In chapter 15, verse 1, it's unfortunate that there's a chapter breaking here. But in the 1200s, that's how they did it. They put together the chapters and the verses, and they chose to break into chapter 15 here. Because it goes on and finishes the thought. He says in verse 1, chapter 15, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not please ourselves. We who are strong, Paul here lumps himself in the place of the strong, in the place of those who could eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols, could call each day the same. He put himself in that place. And 1 Corinthians, he actually talks about this a little. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 on, it says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. You see, Paul's motivation, Paul's heart, was for the sake of the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done for us. The great news. So Paul's motivation in serving others was to share the gospel with them. So he says, as I become as a Jew to the Jew, as one without the law to those without the law, though I'm under the law of Christ. So he basically gives his heart in sharing the truth of God's word. But look what it says in verse 1. It says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. We who are strong ought. The word ought is interesting because it actually means to owe a debt, to have a debt. So we who are strong are actually indebted to those without strength. And the word without strength is incapable or impossible. For those who have a spiritual preference other than ours, who cannot, in this case, who could not eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols. They had come out of the temple worship or whatever, and they could not bring themselves to eat meat that would, even though it was cheap, it was the cheapest stuff in the marketplace. They could not bring themselves to eat it because of what they had seen, what they had grown up with, what they knew that had happened in that pagan temple. And it says that we who are strong have a debt to them. And the debt isn't to live exactly like that. The debt isn't to give up our freedoms that we have in Christ. That's not the debt that he's talking about that the strong have. The debt is to encourage them in the growth that God is working in their life. By not flaunting the freedoms that we have in front of them. By not pushing them into the freedoms that they have not grown in yet. So there's the debt. He says we have a debt to bear the weaknesses. He uses the word bear. The word bear means to carry or to pick up or to endure. And it's a burden that those who are strong in the faith, it's a burden that they have. It becomes a burden because basically those who are strong are setting aside their freedoms for the sake of the fellow believers without those freedoms. And it becomes a burden. But it's not a burden that Christ doesn't share, and we'll see that as we get into this. But he says that he says those who are strong have a debt to pick up that, to pick up the weaknesses of those without strength and not please ourselves, accommodate. The word please means to accommodate, not accommodate ourselves. In other words, the gist of this verse basically is that Christianity is not about us. It's not about our preferences. All right? It's about what God is doing in growing each of us, including others. Look what the next verse says. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Now, his neighbor in this specific context is talking about his fellow believer. It's talking about the weaker Christian. We are to please, and the word again, please, is accommodate or to accommodate. To accommodate in that spiritual preference the weaker brother. Why is this so important? I mean, we've been hitting on it week after week after week. And it's getting to the place, Chris was talking to me this week, she said, enough, you know, this is like enough is enough. We get it. Okay, let's go on to another concept. And yet Paul keeps coming back to this, but it's important because of how it ends. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. So anyway, stay with me, because it is important what he's saying here. He says, each of us is to please or to accommodate his neighbor, those weaker in the faith, for his good, towards his good. The word is towards his good, to his edification. Now, this is really interesting. So he says towards, and the word towards is that word from the line. We make our preposition circle here, and the line coming towards it. Towards his good, which is the goal, the good of each of those around us who know Jesus Christ. And then he says, to his edification. And the word Edification is growth, that word too is interesting because it's the word pros. It doesn't mean toward his edification. It means it's the word that's alongside the circle, right beside the circle, pros, alongside his edification. In other words, we who are strong, we who understand the freedom that we have in Christ, we go right up alongside the one who doesn't and bear and encourage and uplift the work that God is doing in them. Not force them to see the freedoms that we have in Christ. You notice Paul never says, to some they can eat meat, eat any meat. To others they eat vegetables only because they can't eat meat sacrificed out. But you know what? They really should. They really need to understand that they're free in Christ, and the big dummies, they really ought to do it. What's the matter with those people? Okay, he doesn't do that. Now, we might have a tendency to do that. He doesn't do that. Right? Instead, he says, well, I'm with them. I'm not going to eat meat. I'm not going to even go there. Why? Because what God is building in them, God is building for a purpose, so that they can teach others, so that they can reach a group of people that Paul couldn't even reach. That's why God is building in you different than God is building in me. And you can reach out to someone that I can't reach out to. And I can reach out to someone that you can't reach out to. Because God does his work his way in his time, and he grows us as he sees fit. And if we're constantly fighting that, then guess what? We're not growing. But if we're abiding in him and he in us, then we're going God's way. So it's all in God's timing. And he says in verse 2, each of us is to please or accommodate his neighbor for towards his good, right alongside of his edification, right alongside of his growth. And the word edification actually means construction. It means construction. See, there's a word I understand. Right alongside of his building up. Or construction, right alongside of his garage that he's building. I understand that. I understand the building process. You start with the foundation, you build the walls, and you start putting in rooms, you put the roof over it. I understand that. And it's a process. And when we are right alongside of the process that God is doing in someone else that doesn't understand the freedoms that we have in Christ, that doesn't understand everything, that still is bringing up stuff in his background that he just can't get past something, then we can stand there and say, that's fine. That's okay. That's not a bad thing. And we can encourage. Because there's a... Keep going. This is the example of Christ. Look at verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself. You see that? Even Christ did not accommodate himself. And you look at it and you say, well, you mean Christ didn't do what he wanted? Yes, he did what he wanted out of the motivation of love and out of the motivation of God's desire for him. Philippians chapter 2 says that he came out of obedience. And we know throughout Scripture, he has come out of love. He came out of a motivation that was God-given. And his natural, and it put you and me in the situation, and we look at it and say, for Christ did not please himself, how would we have been pleased? Or how would even Christ have accommodated himself? How would he have done that? What could he have done? Well, he could have remained in heaven. He didn't have to come as a baby, be born as a baby, be laid in a manger. A manger, that's in a cave. That's where the animals are. First thing he smelled was a farm. It smells like a farm. All right? He didn't have to do that. Came, grown up, grew up. Let's go with that. Growing up, he came and he got bigger. And he experienced life here, and he experienced rebukes, he experienced insults, he experienced lashes, he experienced the cross, He experienced 3 hours on the cross where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced all that for us. He didn't have to. He wanted to. He had to from our part. He had to, or we would never have had salvation. But he did it not to accommodate himself, not to please himself, but to please his Father. He could have remained in heaven. He could have demanded worship from everyone here when he walked about. He could have demanded that every person lay down before him and worship. And he would have been right to demand that. This is the example of Jesus Christ. This is what he could have done. He could have kept his spiritual body where he wouldn't even have needed to demand it. Everyone would have laid down and died. He could have done that. He didn't. He didn't accommodate himself. Look what it says there. Verse 3. Even Christ did not accommodate himself. But as it is written, and whenever you see that, get excited. Okay? As it is written, the word is gegrapho. It's just a fabulous word. I know. It's a Greek word. But it's really cool. Because it's always in the perfect tense. And it's in the passive voice. So it's as God wrote this entirely and totally and completely right, perfectly. As God took care of the writing of this. So in other words, everything in here is God-breathed, has come from God, and it is complete, and it is total, and it is perfect. We can trust God's word. I love that word, because we can trust God's word. As it is written. And here's what he says. This song comes from Psalm 69. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. The reproaches, the word reproaches, it means insults, reprimand, denouncing. All the insults, all the reprimands, all the denouncing of those who reproached you. And in Psalm 69, it's a messianic psalm. It's talking about the Messiah. But he's talking about those who reproached God fell on Christ. All right? Now take that and put it in our circumstance, because those who reproach us, those who denounce us because of the name of Jesus Christ, it falls on Christ himself. He's the one that takes it. And the word falls, the word fell on there, the word fell means to press against or gripped, to press against. Christ took even our issues. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took our issues, even sinful issues, upon himself. And he did it out of love for our good. Keep going. Verse 4. For whatever was written, and this is talking back about the what has just been given. For whatever was written in earlier times, the word was written means to portray publicly or describe vividly. Forever, whatever was portrayed public, whatever was described vividly was written for our instruction. The word instruction is our teaching or doctrine, our truth, what is true, to be grounded in that truth, who God is, what he has done for us. Now listen, it says, for whatever was written was in those earlier times, in other words, the whole Old Testament, what he's talking about here, was written for our doctrine, for our grounding of truth. And that word so that is that word hinnath. In order that, there's a clause here, in order that this might be. And this is what's fun. In order that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures. The word perseverance means endurance. The word encouragement means comfort or conciliation. So what Christ did, what was written before, God's word, the scriptures, is what helps us in gaining encouragement and perseverance. Now, this is going to make sense in a minute, maybe, if I can get it out right. It'll make sense in a minute. But I want to read you what we've already been through in Romans chapter 5. Because he says these same things. Romans chapter 5, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that our justification comes by faith. Through whom, Christ, also we have obtained our introduction into faith, by faith, into this grace in which we all stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you see that word endurance there? Perseverance. He's talking about the perseverance that comes through the Scripture. He's talking about the perseverance that comes through understanding who God is and what he has done. And we'll get to that. And look at the next verse. Because I hate to get too far, because it talks about hope here and how it ends in hope. But I want to get to this next verse. Now may the God, verse 5, now may the God who gives perseverance and endurance, or encouragement, perseverance and encouragement. So perseverance and encouragement of the Scripture isn't some entity off by itself. God gave it. God put endurance in there. God put perseverance in there. You say, well, how did that perseverance come about? It comes about, according to James and according to Romans chapter 5, it comes about through trials. So when trials happen, what do? When we struggle, when we have trials, where do we go? When you come to the place where you have no other place here to go, you get into the Word, the Scripture. And you gain the perseverance from the Scripture, the endurance from the Scripture. And you see that God is with you. You see that God will never, never leave you. He will never, never, never forsake you. That's a verse that I gave to Carolyn's kids Thursday. There's promises in the Word. There's a hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And that hope is what we grab and hang on to. And it's not a fleeting hope. It's not like, I hope it doesn't snow. I hope it gets warmer. It's not that kind of hope. That can happen. It might not. Guess what this is? This comes from the solid Word of God. I told them if God's Word is true at all, if there is any hope of truth in God's Word, then we have a hope. We know exactly where Carolyn is. We can stand absolutely firm on that. And it's not a fleeting hope. It's a true hope. But that hope comes through perseverance. It comes through going through the trial, understanding that God's Word is true, and relying upon God's Word. And that builds proven character, and that proven character builds hope. And you know what that is? Look what it says. Perseverance and encouragement. That's the encouragement part. The encouragement part is when we understand we've gone through that and understand that we can trust God in the midst of the trial. We can trust God in the midst of the situation we don't understand. We can trust Him. And look at verse 5. Now may the God who gives, and literally that word gives is not in there. All right. Literally, that word gives is of. Now may the God of perseverance and encouragement, because perseverance and encouragement are nouns. They're not verbs. May the God of your perseverance, may the God of your encouragement. And you know where these come from? They come through the trials. They come through the encouragement of those who are standing next to us when we are without strength. God uses the strong to encourage the weak when they are without the strength. God uses us to build that garage. He uses us in the building of the garage that he is building in somebody else's life. We don't deserve to be used. What was the first thing he told the strong? He said, don't be condemning the weak, which is the first thing we want to do. As if you understand your freedom, the first thing you want to say is, you got a problem wearing a suit on a Sunday morning. You got a problem wearing a suit on. You think you have to wear a suit. You're just dumb. All right? And by the way, I don't think that. I've told you why I wear a suit on Sunday, but it doesn't matter. But some people do. They have to. Okay? And that's not a problem because Christianity isn't about suits. So I who understand that you don't have to wear a suit can come right alongside them and wear a suit. And it's not going to bother me a bit. Because God's building a garage in his life. And he's using things that will build him up. And someday he'll understand that you don't have to. But that's God's work. That's not mine. But I can encourage him in that. But look what it says. Let's finish this out. Verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement do this. Grant you, and the word grant is somewhere. Grant. It means, it's a very strong wish. It means to produce or allow. May God allow or produce in you. And this is a very strong desire that he has here. It's in a mood that's a very strong desire. It says, may this God of perseverance, this God of encouragement, produce in you to be, what? Of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. You see, this is the purpose. This is the purpose of the stronger encouraging the weaker. This is the purpose of going through the trial and persevering and coming up with encouragement and coming up with a strong hope. All of this is a central purpose. It has a central purpose. And the purpose is right here. To have the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. The word according to is kata, and it means under. Under the our preposition, the line under it, so it's under the authority of. Under the authority of Christ Jesus. To have the same mind and the same heart. You know what he's talking about in all of this? Because we've gone over and over and over and over, the stronger and the weak, and how we relate to each other. You know why? It's called unity of the body. This local body is not the only part of God's body. You realize that? Our local church is not the only Christians in the world. I talked to a guy in Chicago who thought his local church was the only Christians in the world. He believed that. It was amazing. We're going, really? So nobody else is saved, but yeah, that's right. He said, wow. You're going to have a small heaven. Our local church is not the only Christians anywhere, okay? It's called unity of the body. And the more you get out and around and see other Christians and be around other Christians, the more you know that Satan will use every spiritual preference he can to divide, not to unify. And that's why those of you who are stronger in the faith need to bear the weaknesses of those who are weak. Because those who are weak cannot bear the strength of those who are strong. They cannot. That's why we unify, not by forcing, not by pushing our preferences on others, but by accepting God's work in other people's lives. And look what it says. And here's the overall central purpose of them all. Look at verse 6. So that, or in order that, with one accord, you may with one voice, and the word accord is mind, with one mind, one attitude, one heart, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our purpose as the body of Christ is to glorify God. And to do this, we need unity. We struggle. We struggle to glorify God truly until we persevere in trials, until we are encouraged through the Word, finding hope, finding our steadfast hope. Trials don't separate us from God. They push us towards growth in God. But in all of this, what Paul's point is, God is pushing us to what? Unity. Unity. Our unity comes from being an encouragement to other believers as God does his work in them. Perseverance and encouragement are what build hope. And hope does not fail. What Christ was free to do, he set aside for our growth, for our benefit, so we could with one mind and one voice glorify his Father, our Father, God. So what can we do to encourage others as God builds us into the structure that he wants us to be in here on earth? As God builds his work and his life in us, God's work in you is precious and great. And what he's doing with other Christians is precious and great. God loves each one of us. Stand fast in the freedoms that you have in Jesus Christ, in your spiritual preferences that you know you are free in Christ. Stand fast in that. And lift up each other as we seek to live for him. But don't push that. Don't be God's enforcer. Be God's encourager. You don't need to be God's enforcer. He'll take care of that. He will grow this body, his body, in his way, in his time. God will do the work. Encourage each other in this. If God cannot do the work in your life, it is because you have never trusted in him to be your Lord, your Savior. If you haven't trusted in him, I would encourage you today. I would love to show you from God's word how you can have a relationship with him. Same relationship that you saw in Carolyn's life. And you can be in the same place that she is now. You can have that. You can have that. Believe and accept, receive that truth. It's free. It's a free gift. If you have trusted in Christ, then know that by perseverance, by encouragement, we can grow together. And we can together, in unity, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal of our life, is to glorify God. You understand that? The ultimate goal of the building that God is building you to be is to glorify him. And the ultimate goal of the building he's building your fellow Christian to be is to glorify him. So instead of tearing down that building and putting our own building up in someone else's life, let's set aside our preferences and encourage the building of someone else. Encourage each other as we are growing in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.